Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Starting to get just a wee bit of a reputation here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues for bringing guests on the podcast that drive the left absolutely bat spit crazy. And we'll do that again today as we will welcome Mike Brown onto the podcast in just a couple of moments. He's another one of these people in the Kansas City area that has left the Kansas City Star and all the other liberal media outlets, Channel 41 especially, on television and some of the others, just scratching their heads how he continues to find himself in positions of importance. He was quite the thorn on the side of the Johnson County Commission for a long, long time in Kansas, and he became their target, and all they wanted to do was get him off the commission, off the board. Well, as he was off the board and ran for other offices and didn't win them, they started making fun of Mike Brown. Mike Brown, this, that, oh, he's a radical, almost like they should jail this man. What does Mike Brown do? Well, he turns right around and becomes the chairman of the Kansas Republican Party. He won it. He only won it by 2 votes, but he is the chair of the Kansas Republican Party. And if Kansas wants to become Missouri, because Missouri's government is more conservative than Kansas government right now, state levels, across the board, if Kansas wants to be more like Missouri, it needs more people like Mike Brown and Mike Brown to come on board and change the type of candidates that are on the ballot in the state of Kansas. He is a no-nonsense, take-no-prisoners, I-don't-care-what-anybody-says-about-me kind of person, and he is in charge of the Kansas Republican Party. His wife, Christy, who I don't think can do interviews, interestingly enough, is the Trump campaign director for the state of Kansas. So they are all in. Like, Mike is running the party in Kansas, all the elections and everything in the state of Kansas, and his wife, Christy, is the campaign director for Donald Trump in the state of Kansas. These people are connected now. They are connected right to the convention in Milwaukee, which is coming up this summer, and it is on. Mike Brown knows the new chairman of the RNC, Michael Whatley. We will talk about early voting. We'll talk about fundraising in Kansas. Kansas.gop is the fundraising arm if you'd like to make a donation. And a whole bunch of different goals, local levels, and things for the state of Kansas with Mike Brown, who absolutely drives them crazy on the left. You're going to love this. It is all brought to you by IdealHealthKC.com. Dr. Kip Van Camp and his team would love to work with you with your chronic pain, or if you feel like something's happening, or if you had a diagnosis for some sort of an ailment, illness, onset with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, he works with that. COVID shot issues. There's a lot of things that Dr. Van Camp can do with your body's tissue or blood through blood spinning or patch therapy to make you feel better. If traditional medication hasn't worked for you, consult with Dr. Van Camp online at IdealHealthKC.com. Amazing Garage Floors is online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. John and Heather Hutchins would love to hear from you at 913-901-7139. I can't tell you how many emails I get from people who share something and go, I'm still thinking about getting that garage floor. I'm going to make a promise to you if you pull the trigger and do this. You will never be sorry. You will not be disappointed when it's done, and you will not have another day in your house where you're not thankful that you had this done. This isn't a hardwood floor that you got to refinish in 5 years. It's not going to scratch. It's not going to do any of that. This is a lifetime of joy, folks. Transform your garage with an amazing garage floor from AmazingGarageFloors.net. Get off your duff and do it. Also, get off your duff and play more golf this year. Falcon Ridge Golf Club has a few openings, part of the Great Life Golf chain of courses in the Kansas City area. My man Jay Elsie over there would love to hear from you. He'll give you 1 month free. You want to contact Falcon Ridge? Ask for Jay Elsie, 913-393-GOLF. That's 393-4653. Or log on to their website at Falcon Ridge. Join a membership, pay 1 monthly fee, and play all the golf you want to play. FalconRidgeGolfClub.com. That's FalconRidgeGolfClub.com. Or if you want to play a single round somewhere else, there's multiple courses all over Kansas City and other clubs you can join. Go to GreatLifeGolf.com. That is greatlifegolf.com. Play more golf. Oh, if you're listening at the Kansas City Star, or if you're a TV reporter, yep, Mike Brown's getting some airplay and your head's about to explode. This is going to be a wild one. This dude is something else. Mike Brown on KKHI. Hit it!
The Kevin Kietzman Has Issues conversation is brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC. Online at robertsrobinson.com.
Well, in keeping with the common theme of this podcast, I have another man that is another guest, I should say, because we have ladies as well. Another person that is just despised by the left, especially the media in Kansas City, is Mike Brown, the chair of the Republican Party of the great state of Kansas. Mr. Brown, how are you, sir?
I am doing great, Kevin. It's good to be with you.
It is great to have you back on the podcast again. It's been a while. Sorry about that.
It's been a while, but we've been really busy.
We have.
Time's flown by.
It's such an important time in the election year. We're going to get into everything going forward, but tell me a little bit about how you wind up as the chair of the Kansas Republican Party.
So I ran for Kansas Secretary of State in 2022, and shortly after the primary that I had lost there, we still had made great ground, great progress. I lost by about just short of 10 points and made a lot of friends, a lot of allies, and a lot of people liked the message. So shortly after that loss in August of 2022, a group of people came to me and said, "We think you would make a great state party chairman, and we think you should consider doing that." To which I said to them, "Are you nuts? Why would I do that?" There were two things I said in my life, that my entire adult life, that I was never going to do. I never want to be my HOA president, and I never want to be the state party chairman.
Yeah.
And here I am.
And here you are. And it drove them crazy on the left.
Oh.
I mean, they just went absolutely wild. And then they try to write stories and say, "Oh, you're ruining the party. It's going to be terrible for Kansas, this and this and this." Why do they despise you so much? And who, if you had to rank in order, is it the Kansas City Star that hates you more than anybody? As far as the media and people on the left, who's really out to get you?
The Star just despises me. Basically, that entire, anything print media just is not a friend, not a fan of Mike Brown. And there is a very simple, straightforward explanation for why that is. I speak the truth. I don't pander to them. I don't pander to anybody. I tell it like it is, and that's it. It's straightforward. It's very simple. I learned very early in life from my grandparents and from my parents that as long as you keep telling the truth, it gets very easy to remember the story. And so just tell the truth, and that's what we do. They despise the truth. They want a narrative, and I won't give it to them.
Kansas is clearly a right of center state, and I think Johnson County, for the most part, is right of center.
Agreed.
But the media on the left are amazing at this because they've done it to Chris Kobach. They did it to you. They do it to a lot of conservatives. Somehow they convince people that conservatism is something that's radical. I'm like, does anybody read history? Does anybody know the history of this country and how we got here and what we are and what we stand for? Because to me, that's the basis of conservatism. It's basically American traditionalists.
It is.
And they're so effective at going out and affecting these campaigns and keeping Kobach from being governor or you out of the commission or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. How do they do this, and why do people buy it?
So people don't pay attention. The bottom line is the electorate doesn't pay attention and really zoom in to what's going on or what their current elected is doing on their behalf that they like or don't like. They don't pay attention. People in the in American culture for the longest time, for decades and decades and decades, came to believe that all they needed to do was vote the guy in that they thought could do the job, and that then they could turn their back. They could go back to their family, go back to their job, go back to their company, just go back to their life. And in two or four, or in a case of a U.S. senator in 6 years, I'll hear from them again, and then I'll decide. The problem is that COVID came along, and people suddenly realized how important a county commissioner is, how much power the health secretary, Department of Health Environment Secretary has, how much authority your government has over your life. And this will sound familiar to you and to your listeners. Shut down your business. Stay home. Put on a mask. Stick a needle in your arm. It just kept going and going. When I had to dig in as a commissioner, because that runs, it is antithetical to who I am. I want government to leave me alone,
right,
which is why I got involved in government, was to hold government back. And at many levels, I was very effective at doing that at Johnson County. When people tuned in, all they saw was Mike Brown standing there saying, "Absolutely not. No, no, no. And it got framed that I was an obstructionist when the fact was, is I was out there defending everyone listening to this podcast, liberty.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we need more people like that. Clearly, Trump is like that. Mm-hmm. Your wife, Christy, is the chair of the Trump campaign in Kansas. We'll get into some of that as we kind of climb the ladder here on some of these issues. But we talked briefly before we got started about all politics is local, they say, whatever. I've got a new mayor here in Lenexa we're not real happy with. I don't know how this happened in this town because I know Lenexa is a conservative community, and yet it did happen. When you go vote, which a lot of people don't vote in mayoral races, it doesn't say Democrat or Republican on the ballot. As the chair of the Kansas Republican Party, if we get control of the governorship again, can we change this in Kansas? And it should be this way everywhere. Why would we want to put on a ballot less information about a candidate than more when we know so many people show up knowing nothing?
Because they're hiding the Democrats. It is simply to avoid putting the donkey and the word Democrat behind their name. 100%, that's all it's about. It's not about anything else. The only people that fight to keep partisan elections in place are the school unions and ultra-liberal Democrat groups. That's who pushes and fights this issue to keep it in place. The bottom line is Kansas should not have non-partisan elections. Every election in Kansas should be partisan, because when you've got a John Smith running and it says that he's from Lenexa, and you've got a Jim Stewart running from Overland Park, the only information you have in that is what city they're from, which literally tells you nothing about who they are, what they believe, or what it's not indicative of what they'll do. So in a vacuum, Overland Park will vote for Overland Park and Lenexa will vote for Lenexa. Guess who wins? Right. Overland Park.
Right.
So the big city in Johnson County wants it to stay that way.
So can the state of Kansas change this even in municipal elections?
Absolutely.
Can they pass a state law and say you have to declare a party affiliation or unaffiliated? I don't think you should be able to say independent. I don't think you should be able to declare independent on the ballot, because a lot of people will look at that and go, I like this person. That's not unaffiliated. You name what you're affiliated with or you're unaffiliated. Can we change the law and make
Absolutely.
That happen?
And it is not that hard to do.
Is anybody moving to do this? Are you and I the only two people talking about this?
So this was an issue a couple of years ago, and it was also an issue before that when I was a commissioner, that I forced it to the forefront, not only in Johnson County for consideration, because a county can opt out of a nonpartisan election system, but the state can also, through state statute, change the statute so that all elections have to be. Me pushing hard on that issue as a commissioner at the time, it forced it to be a conversation. Immediately, the League of Cities, League of Counties, they all rolled in on the backside and did everything they could to put their foot on that door, because it's their power base. If you put Republican behind somebody's name in Kansas, there's a high likelihood that they're going to win.
Yeah.
And they don't want Republicans in office.
So I have a theory. I come up with crazy things sometimes, but sometimes they come true. Most times they actually come true. My thought is if we did this, let's take the 24 election this year. Let's say some school board candidates were out there in, I don't know, pick a community, Shawnee, Shawnee Mission School District. I could see some moms going and voting for the Republican for their school board and vote for Sharice Davids for Congress. I could see that. I could 100%. See them saying, I want her because of abortion, whatever. She's going to D.C. to protect the rights on this. But my kids are going to these schools and I want different people on my school board. I could see that happening with a lot of people. Couldn't you?
Absolutely. And it is maddening beyond belief. The number of Johnson County moms, and that means moms of all the stripes, that will say, I don't agree with Sharice Davids' policies, but she's just such a nice person. And every time I hear someone say that, I ask them, is that the only qualifier you have for who represents you on the board of USA Inc.? They just have to be nice. That's it. That's all you're interested in knowing about them.
That is so far down the list of what I vote for.
Oh, it's not even on my list. It's issue oriented and driven. And that's
can't
it.
Be, I don't want you to be a crook. You can't be a criminal or bad. You know, I'm out on those people.
Absolutely.
We see those people. I'm out on that, or, terrible moral character or something like that.
Sure.
A non-starter for me, but I don't care if you're, I want somebody to go do the job.
I 100%
I like Mike
agree.
Brown.
Yeah, well, thanks.
You are a nice guy, but I'm guessing on that commission, you weren't very nice sometimes.
there were, so I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
There, most of the time I'm incredibly nice. I'm very nice and pleasant. I'm easy to talk to. I want to get along. I don't want people to be mad at me or call me bad names or talk about me bad in the newspaper. But at the same time, I'm going to say what needs to be said. And if that's where the path leads, then that's where the path will lead.
See, I got so many people say that me and my podcast and my career are controversial. I'm like, I think I'm the least controversial person on the planet. I've never heard anybody in my life. We're good people. We pay our taxes. We don't commit crimes. We're members of the community. We donate. We're involved in charities. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of nice things. And I feel like we're productive family, productive citizens. And they've just coined you and me as somebody who's like radical or crazy with their views. And I just, I can't see it.
No, it's frustrating to be sure that the media, that it was supposed to be there per the Constitution, to be the watchdog, the arbiter, the similar to a quasi almost judicial, just simply report the facts, that they have found themselves in a position of being so infiltrated by the left.
Because they can't win the issues?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And in this issue oriented, the Democrats lose everywhere, not inner cities around the country, but they lose almost everywhere on issues.
If you took the press out of the equation in the 2024 presidential cycle, you just took the press out. The press, for a moment, they aren't there. They don't exist. There is no TV. There's no TV news. There's no print media. There's no radio. There's none on either side. There's none. It's just the two candidates representing their values asking for your vote. It'd be a landslide.
It'd be a route, no doubt. Okay, so what at the Kansas GOP, what are your top goals? I mean, we all feel like Trump's going to win Kansas pretty easily. So is it Sharice David's seat? Is it getting more seats in Topeka? Is it getting the governor out in a couple of years? What is the top priority right now for the Kansas Republican Party?
So we've got about 50 things on the top priority list. So that's the way it goes in politics. But so we obviously need to get President Trump back into office, not only to have served as our 45th president, but to be the 47th president. And that is coming, mark my words. That is in the cards. That is now baked in a cake that we just haven't seen yet. He's going to be our next president. He won overwhelmingly in the high 70 percentile in our presidential preference primary about 3 or 4 weeks ago now. So that was a big priority to me, was to make sure that the president and America know that Kansas is Trump country. This is Trump country, without a doubt, unequivocally, not an argument. We're Trump country. Aside from that, we've got obviously we want to get rid of the governor. She gets a pass similar to what we hear, what you and I just had a conversation about Sharice David's, mm-hmm. about, oh, but she's just so nice. Well, yeah, but she's just such a liberal. So, no, doesn't work for me. In the meantime, though, because that election's 26, that's still a ways down the road, we got to put things that are coming sooner on the calendar as a higher priority. So, dispatching Sharice David's, putting a Republican in that seat, getting control of that seat, the importance that we have all seen of how important each and every of those 435 seats in the House are. It's we're down to single digits.
Can that seat be won?
It can be won. It can be won. We are going to have candidates that go forward, and they're going to have to walk a bit of a tightrope in Johnson County. They're going to have to be able to talk to and placate the people in the middle, and talk to and placate the people on the right. And that's a tough act. That's a high wire act with no safety net.
I say this every time she's up. She literally wears a T-shirt that says, "All my heroes killed colonists."
It is in our Friday file every week.
And I cannot believe that person gets elected in this district in Kansas.
That if you or I wore a shirt that said anything about killing anybody, that we would be on the front
page
of the
Star. Heroes.
And they would be camped out in our front yard, and we'd be afraid our house was going to be burned down. But somehow, because it's Sharice David's wearing it, that's okay. It's all right. It's not okay. It's unacceptable.
Imagine if we wore a shirt that said, "All my heroes kill terrorists."
Yeah, it would be.
Which is true. We love our military, and they do kill terrorists when we need to kill terrorists. But if you wore that,
there are ways to say things.
Oh, my God, it'd be the biggest story in the country.
Absolutely. It would blow up. It'd be on national news. It would be, yes,
it certainly would. She does what she does. So yep. I guess we'll be hopeful there. So your wife is the chair of the Trump campaign in Kansas. And I know that you guys are excited about the convention this summer and what's going to happen in Milwaukee.
Very.
And I know that his campaign is focused mostly on 7 or 8 states, but probably more like 15, because there's some that could. I don't think Kansas or Missouri is either one of those. Is there ever any like when you're in a position like the one you're in, is there ever any fear like, okay, it's still election day. What if people don't show up or what if this happens or whatever? Like he should win Kansas and Missouri very easily without much effort, right?
He will win Kansas and Missouri without much effort.
So you don't worry about, okay, election day comes, bad weather, people aren't showing up, some fluke could happen. You don't worry about that at all.
No, I'm not worried about Trump winning Kansas at all. And he will also win Missouri.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. I mean, there literally is just no doubt about it.
So what do you do and what does the campaign do from the top for the highest level for the Trump campaign? Is there much work to be done or is it just like make sure the thing is moving?
We make sure that the machine is in place and knowing that we have a nominee now and that we will ratify that when we are all in Milwaukee in mid-July. But he's the presumptive nominee at this time. Donald Trump is going to be our nominee and is going to be the next president. My job beyond that then is to look down that ballot and see what are our next priorities. We need to get rid of Sharice Davids. We need a Republican to represent Kansas 3rd District. Additionally, we have to protect the Kansas Senate, a supermajority that we have there. The worst thing that we could possibly have happened to us this year is to lose control of either a supermajority or a simple majority of the Kansas Senate with Laura Kelly as our governor. We're handing her the keys and she can do anything she wants. At that point, it's on.
Are you concerned about this? Do we have tight races? So
we do have tight races, and people, especially your listener base that's in the Johnson County area, needs to know this. There are 8 Senate seats, 8 Senate districts that lie completely within or touch Johnson County, Kansas. All 8 that I'm talking about, Laura Kelly, a Democrat, won those districts for her race for governor. That has very much put those districts in play with the Democrats. They can see it, that they won it. They're going to try to win it again. 8 losses on Senate seats would take us from a supermajority to a minority in the Kansas Senate. We would have no control.
I can't believe Kansans think she's a moderate. I can't believe it. If you gave her a Democrat out of Senate, she'd go crazy. The state would be fundamentally changed forever. She'd go Joe Biden and AOC.
Absolutely. It would be far left, and it would be as far and as fast as you could run.
Because I describe it this way. On the left, at this point, if they're getting into politics and they're running, all these school board races, when I know somebody is a Democrat that's running, they're way left, or they wouldn't be in. Those are the people that want to get in.
Yes.
There are no old school moderate Democrats that want to run for anything. They're sitting by on the sidelines going, well, I guess I'll vote or whatever.
Yes.
It's the wackos that want to run. Yeah. That's it.
What's really interesting, and this is an interesting stat that most people, they look at me and their mouth pops open when I say it, but it's 100% true. In the state of Kansas, last November of 2023, in nonpartisan races, so apparently we're not supposed to know who the Republicans are. We knew who every Republican and every Democrat was across the entire state. Mm-hmm. We had an entire spreadsheet built for that. There were 1,160 seats available, open seats up for election last November. Republicans won 901 of those. That's 78% across the state. And are every one of them exactly my perfect flavor of Republican? No, probably not. But I don't care because I'll take any Republican right, over a Democrat every time I've got that chance.
That's right.
But if it's a nonpartisan election and your mom and pop and you're not paying attention, you're going to walk in and find out you got somebody to pick from, like I said earlier, from Overland Park or Lenexa. That's all you know. It doesn't say anything about their ideology, how they think, what they identify with, what their priorities are.
Crazy.
Nothing. It's a void, and it must change. When because we went out and we made it known who the Republicans were. We went out of our way. We spent a chunk of money to make sure we put data in the candidates' hands. We put information in the voters' hands through texts and some mailings. We made sure that they knew who the Republican was, and we won 78% of the available seats.
How strongly do we want to encourage Republican voters to vote early? Because I've always worn it kind of as a badge of honor. Like election day to me is like Christmas or something. It's like, okay, today's election day. I'm American. I'm going to go do this. I voted early in the Trump and the presidential preferential poll in Kansas, and I'll probably vote early in November. I don't know, but I go do it in person. I'm not mailing it in. I don't trust the U.S. mail with anything I'm going to put in the mail or anything like that. Is this something we want? Do we want to encourage more and more and more Republicans to vote early?
So to answer your question directly, yes, we do want people to vote early. but we want them to vote in person early, not via the U.S. mail. This is absolutely 100% true. I got mail last Thursday, a letter that was sent to the Kansas Republican Party, and it was postmarked November 23rd of 2023.
Oh, my God.
It showed up in our mailbox on Thursday.
Wow.
So if you're willing to trust the United States Post Office with your vote, I think you're crazy.
I still get voter stuff, and I've moved houses. For my kids, they're grown. My son's 34, lives in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. My other son is 30, lives in Austin. My daughter lives in Kansas City, Missouri, and I get mail for them from... Like I guess I could just respond, fill them out, and vote for them.
It's crazy because my wife and I moved. We've moved since I was a commissioner. Before we moved, our oldest child had moved to Texas, went to school, graduated, got married, lives and votes in Dallas.
And you still get stuff at your new residence.
At our new residence with her name on it.
Who's behind this?
She did not change her voter registration. We've been trying to get her off the voter rolls with the Secretary of State and with Johnson County for the entire time I was a county commissioner. I couldn't even get them to pull it.
It's really frustrating.
Frustrating.
I thought they don't prosecute this anywhere. I've always been scared to death, but you know what? If I get three votes in here, I may just go ahead and fill them out for them. I don't know. Golly, I didn't say
don't
that.
Do that.
It's not like anybody will listen back to this podcast a couple of years ago. Did he cheat during the election? Because they'd lock me up.
They'll show me your door.
Of course, they looked at those ballots and saw that I wrote down Sharice Davids from all of my kids. They wouldn't lock me up.
Right. That'd be different.
The other way,
that's totally different.
All kinds of trouble. House fundraising and how important is GOP fundraising versus candidate fundraising in Kansas?
So candidate fundraising in the last cycle was really good. Believe it or not, with everything going on in the economy.
Is it more important for people to donate to candidates or to the Kansas GOP or what?
It's both.
People are listening.
It's both. Okay. And so for people who are dialed in and know a candidate or a few candidates that are their state rep, their senator, their county commissioner, their mayor, they know them and they know exactly who their money's going to, knock yourself out. I love that. That's perfect. The candidate, that nothing wrong with that at all. There are a lot of people, though, that either do not understand, don't know, don't have the time, don't take the time, or don't necessarily even care enough to give it a try to understand. And that's the beauty of living in America. You don't have to know. You don't have to. So for those, the party is a really great place because we do know. Our sole job is to advance Republican ideals and get a Republicans elected to office. That is what we do all day, every day. The question about, you know, does the party versus the candidate? The candidate needs the money to buy advertising, to get their message out, to run their campaign. We are exactly the same. We every cycle are a standing candidate. The ticket in the off years that makes it really hard is that there's not some big sexy fancy race. There's not a U.S. Senate race, and there's not a governor, and there's not of these big fancy races that draw lots of attention.
I think Trump's kind of sexy on the ballot. That's just me. You know, I got a little bit of a man crush on the guy. I'm not afraid to say it.
I've met him, and he's very charismatic.
Years ago, but he's something else. He owns a room. I know
he's
that.
He's a great man. When he walks in, it starts spinning around him immediately.
He's got that thing.
Yes.
He does.
But the state party, we do need your help because we are the apparatus that remains. When everyone's attention in the off cycles, and then it's the holidays, and then it's spring and summer, and the party is still there doing its job, and it costs money, and people have to be engaged and involved so that the machine is sitting there ready to go when the candidates need it, when Republicans need it. So it is important. You know, when I first came into this position in 23, our overhead was burning at about $30,000 a month. We're burning about $3,500 a month now.
Nice.
So we are a virtual office. We don't have office space right now. We probably will expand and share some expenses with counties around the state for sign distribution, information distribution, and rallies, meetings. But our real focus on this is keeping it as I'm a businessman. How do we make the maximum percentage of every dollar donated go specifically to electing Republicans?
All right, $20, $100, $1,000, some whales out there more than that. Kansas.gop, Kansas.gop for fundraising across the state. Kansas.gop. let's do a little crystal ball here, because you're plugged in. You've got an idea on some things that are going on, and our audience, all of the audience, loves Trump. So let's lock in on him for a second or two. Okay. If you had to guess, who do you think he's going to take as his vice presidential candidate?
So let's see. In my opinion, and I don't have any inside information, even though my wife is connected to the campaign. Right. So don't take anything I'm saying here is that I overheard a conversation or I know something everyone else doesn't know. I'm playing the same guessing game everyone else is playing. I think our next vice president does not come from the United States Senate because we can't afford to compromise a seat there. So that takes a couple of options off the table right away, as I see it. I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders, governor, former press secretary, governor of Arkansas, it has to be on the very short list. Kristi Noem, governor from South Dakota, she has to be on the list. I think that Mike Pompeo's name is in that mix. Mm.
Do you like that?
I really like it for Kansas.
I like Kansas if he'd come back and run for governor?
He would be – if he came back to run for governor, he could clear the decks.
I know. That would be good for Kansas.
It would be very good for Kansas. Someone asked me this question the other day, and I'll go ahead and say it here. If you're – put yourself in Mike Pompeo's shoes, you've negotiated with Russia, China, North Korea – every European nation and NATO. You've been everywhere. You've done everything. You've seen it all. You've been at the head table everywhere you went. Do you really want to go chase rubber chicken dinners on Saturday night all over Kansas? I mean, really, do you? And I'm telling you, I've been a statewide. When you run, well, that's what you do.
I'm a little selfish, man. I see the same thing for our great listeners in Missouri. We want people in our states to do the job too, and you cannot explain how we're going to have 8 years of a Democrat governor in Kansas. This is inexplicable to me. To me, it's a lack of the proper candidates, and Mike Pompeo would be an 8-year governor, and that would be that. And I think he'd be doing a wonderful thing for his state. Now, I know he wants to service to his country or whatever. He'll probably get another post with Trump, but I can't see him being the vice president. He's not really like a national politician to me. Does he seem like that to you?
So one of the things I think that is a unique in this position at this time is that this is a 4-year, not an 8-year thought.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So you know, Trump has 4 years and that's it. That's why on day one, they're going to be very busy. On day one, it begins and it will run at turbo speed for all 365 days for 4 years. There will be much accomplished.
I used to think Vivek Ramaswamy had a shot, and I think he's got him pinned for something else, maybe even chief of staff or something like that.
I could see Vivek being chief of staff. I could see him being a great NATO secretary. I could see him being our interface ambassador level.
I kind of want him right there every day.
Yeah, I could see that.
I want him right there. I think he's just a really smart guy.
He is a super smart man. I've met him. He talks fast and he thinks fast. It's hard for this Kansas kid that grew up in Bonner Springs to keep up. but I try. I nod a lot. I just nod. He's a super nice guy and he clearly has a political future in the Republican Party. A very big political
I would future. Say it doesn't matter because voting for Trump, yes or no, the vice presidential candidate isn't going to bring anything, but it is an endorsement for 4 years from now. If Trump brings somebody in, isn't he essentially saying this should be who the next president is after my 4 years?
That's how I would see it. I think very much so. And I think anyone who doesn't get it has to look at it the same way. You're fighting a very uphill battle because Donald Trump is going to pick who he thinks has the best shot of being the 48th president. And if you're not the name that gets called, it's a really you're about to take off trying to climb Mount Everest.
Any chance he's got some outsider somewhere picked out that we're not thinking about? Somebody in the business world, something else where he just says, no, we're going to run this country. This person thinks like I do. I'm going to win these 4 years, and then this person's taking over. And it would be somebody kind of like him, maybe that hasn't been in politics much. I mean, Ramaswamy fits that category, mm-hmm. obviously, but people know who he is. Is there any chance it's just a complete wild card that nobody's talking about?
There's 100% chance that it could be. that is 100% a chance that could be what happens. Donald Trump, as I had said earlier, in my role also, is a businessman. That's his background. It's how he was trained, Wharton School of Business. He thinks about how pieces fit together in the whole, how the whole machine fits together and can be the most effective going forward. When I came in as the state party chairman, a couple of the first big decisions I made were picking an executive director. I picked a gentleman named Dakota Partial. Dakota has never been an executive director, but he knows data like forward, backward, and inside out and upside down. The man knows. He's young, has a ton of energy, young family, knows, understands data, a spot that Mike Brown has a blind spot, or blind, at least a blurry, a little clarity. Yeah. That's not my world.
Yeah.
He lives that world. He has come in, and I know how to run a business. The state GOP is a business, that, and our product is electing Republicans, getting them elected. Dakota is the data guy. Dota, he has now learned much about the business management piece such that now he can go do it, and he's got the experience. But I brought him in specifically because he did not have that experience.
Okay.
I wanted somebody that didn't come in with preconceived notions about who Mike Brown is, who Kevin Kiesman is, who Sam Brownback is, who Mike Pompeo is. I don't have those notions. I don't want that in the mix. I want some pure thought dialogue about how we're moving the party forward, and it has been hyper effective.
All right, let's end with the fun stuff here, Mike. What the heck goes on at convention? I always see these conventions that happen. I always think, boy, this is like, I don't know, like they could have them all in Vegas, I guess. Isn't a lot of dinners and food and fun and parties and all kinds of good stuff, because everybody that goes there from Kansas is pulling the lever for Trump on the third night of the thing. We know that's going to happen. So what do you do for 3 days?
We've got all kinds of fun stuff.
Come on,
it's going to be awesome. It's going to be so awesome.
How does one become a delegate? I want in on this fun.
So
how do you go pull the lever and get to go to all these parties?
You literally have to be a registered Republican in the state of Kansas, and you have to have hit a deadline and self-nominated. That's how you get considered. I am not kidding. That is.
What's the deadline?
Now, but here's the deal.
Is the deadline gone? Come on. Where were you when I needed you?
How can it
be gone already?
Because we've got a convention coming up on the 15th of July, and it isn't waiting on you or me.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Right.
It's coming. That date on the calendar gets
closer.
Well,
what about that? What if somebody gets sick and can't go?
Well, so you self-nominate to be a delegate, and you can say that I will also would accept, if I don't get elected to be a delegate by the state body, I would accept to be an alternate.
Are there already people in that spot, or is it too late to sign up for that too?
That one's filled up too.
Where's the convention in 4 years? Do we know?
Houston. In July. So hang on.
They got air conditioning in Texas.
They do. Yeah, it will be okay. It's still, everything's going to be all right.
We'll be around friends in Texas, and I'll feel very safe walking on the streets. We went up to this place yesterday. We were watching the Royals game with some friends, having a burger, sitting out on a patio, and these bike dudes pulled up. And I'm telling you, it wasn't like your typical bike thing where, you think these, it just wasn't. They were all like 40, 45. And they had their wives and girlfriends with them, and they were dressed pretty nice. They had really cool bikes, and they come in, and I'm like, one alpha male, two alpha male, three alpha male. They sit at this big table right next to us, and my wife Jessica says, what's the over-under in guns on this patio? She said 3.5. I said 12.5.
Yeah, right.
I said, no, I've never felt so safe in my life. They're right here. They're right next to me. They got me.
Right.
I'm good here.
You're totally safe.
I'm telling you, I'm a terrible person, but I'm just looking at these dudes going, I am officially the safest person in Kansas City right now.
100%. When you're in that environment,
it's unbelievable. I'm like, Let's Go Brandon on his thing. I'm like, this is 12 Trump votes right there, and the wives and girlfriends are all, that's 24 Trump votes at these tables stacked together on this outdoor patio. I'm like, I love these people.
And it was at least 20 firearms between them. The women probably all had one in their purse too, which these are my people. I love this.
I love it
about America.
When I was growing up, I went to K-State, and in those days, they didn't let the soldiers from Fort Riley come over to Aggieville.
Right.
It was like a $20, which was a lot then, a $20 cover charge to get into a bar because they didn't want them coming.
Right.
Oh, they're jarheads. We don't want these military people over here or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no. And then you thought these things about the police. Whatever. Now, today, it's like, these are the best people among us, the people that are carrying the guns. Right. I want to be around all of them.
And I want them around me.
I know.
Always around me.
Always. I never have thought about that in my life until now. I was at the Chiefs parade, and I was not far away from that shooting,
which
was a disaster. It was a disaster for the Royals, too.
It
was a bad thing, because the vote, there was no way that vote was going to.
No, because it highlighted crime downtown. I also think on that vote that just failed, they really had an issue there when you've got very wealthy people asking for wants of people who at their kitchen table are pinching pennies and discovering and discussing their needs.
You don't ask when Biden's the president.
Right. It's just bad. It's a wrong time. It's just a bad, bad time.
Kansas wants the Chiefs bad. What do you know about that?
So Legends? I know. So there was a big conversation about possibly Legends. There's a big conversation about out near Eudora, between DeSoto and Eudora, and utilizing the K-10 infrastructure piece that's already in design coming. I am no fan of Laura Kelly, our governor, but I also am a big enough man to say when you do something right, even if I don't agree with you most of the time, you've done something well. She wasted not 1 second picking up the phone and calling the organization saying, hey, Kansas wants to talk to you. Can we sit down? And apparently there's been a meeting about it.
You know, when the sports book thing happened, immediately they passed the law that 80% of that goes to attracting sports teams into the state. They were thinking Chiefs then. So the state of Kansas is in a great spot here. The Star Bonds were, it's just free money for the Speedway and for Sporting Kansas City to build what they build. If they go to the Legends, it's the same thing. It's all this money. I mean, they basically could offer the Chiefs like close to $1 billion in total incentives, couldn't they?
I just don't. Yes, you're right.
And why wouldn't you? If you're the state of Kansas to get an NFL team, this is the thing that you do. This is where you go, okay, it may take 10 more years to pay it off than we think, but we're getting this team.
Yeah. And then they're here.
And then they're here
for the duration.
Yeah.
Then we got them. I don't see them going to the Legends for one very simple reason. I think that the Chiefs organization with the Hunts running it is a very fine-tuned business machine. And I can't see them wanting to bring their team, their machine, their operation, and let someone else in retail, restaurant world benefit. They're going to want to go out into an island and create their own retail and their own restaurant where they benefit from all of it. It's all on their plate. I can see that being a good argument for why the DeSoto Edgerton area along that corridor makes sense.
So the Star Bonds and such that are available at the Legends, are they available anywhere in Kansas?
Yes.
Kansas just declares, hey, we're going to do Star Bonds for this. You can do that anywhere.
It can go anywhere. All it is a sales tax deferment to pay debt versus remittance to the state and local jurisdictions.
It's going to get wild.
It is.
The Royals.
It's going to be
wife
fun.
Last week said that Jackson County they're out for the Royals and Chiefs. I'm like, what? She went on Facebook and put it up. Like nobody's talking about this.
Right.
It's been almost a week ago now. Yeah. She's just like, no, we're done. Jackson County, we're not ever talking to them again. I'm like, okay, what are the Royals options?
Right.
Clay County, North Kansas City, or Kansas.
Right.
That's it. Right. Kansas could wind up with both of them, couldn't they?
Well,
they don't have the money.
There's about 20 other cities that would love to have.
Well, that's right, but I don't think that's where they are. It's been my experience in baseball. You need to be told no 3 times in the city you're in before you think about leaving.
Yeah, I could.
And they've been told once.
Yeah.
There's 2 more no votes before the Royals are going to say Nashville out loud.
Yeah, so you're right. Yeah, before they say it out loud, it's exactly right. And that was the city I was thinking of right away. You've got the election that failed. That's one. And there will be other bites at that apple. I just don't see the Royals just picking up in the middle of the night and driving away from Kansas City. I don't see that happening.
It's not even in my mind.
But if you're negotiating, if you're the organization,
state line's your best friend.
Absolutely. Mike Brown would have tweeted or posted up on Facebook that, hey, we're not talking to Jackson County anymore.
And if Clark Hunt wants to stay at Arrowhead and really do something there, if the Royals are going to leave, all he's got to do is pick up the phone and call Parson, the governor, and say, listen, what are you going to do for me? Because Kansas is offering me the world and Missouri will have to match.
And they have no choice.
And they probably will.
And they probably will.
But they're not dealing with Jackson County anymore. Apparently they're done with that.
Well, until they do.
Until Jackson County just says, hey, we have this for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Until
that's
we do.
The way it works.
We're not ever speaking to them again until we speak to them next time.
Mike, congratulations to you on becoming the chair of the Kansas GOP. All the best in this election year. And I just have a great theme of having guests on this podcast. I love bringing people on that the left just despises, and you are that man. So you're just awesome in my book.
Thank you. Bold conservative Republican leadership wins.
That's right.
We got to be bold.
Pass along my best to Christy and wish her the best for us with the Trump campaign this year in the state.
Will do. Appreciate you, Kevin. You're the best.
Well, you're too kind, Mike. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. We appreciate him coming by and being a guest on the podcast. Something else right there. Mike Brown, the chair of the Kansas Republican Party, presented to you today by the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, online at bluemonthotel.com, and Goolsby's Restaurant Indoor Entertainment Center, part of the Bluemont Hotel complex right there on the corner of campus and Aggieville. World-class golf, Aggieville redevelopment, downtown revitalization. Manhattan is the second fastest-growing city in America. If you're going to be doing business there because of all the expansion, you want to stay at the Bluemont Hotel. online at BlueMontHotel.com. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. I have a listener who stayed at the Bluemont Hotel, saw the fire pit there, called Cross Kitchens and said, we're doing a remodel here and doing some things at our house. And part of this involves this fireplace at the Bluemont Hotel, and he wants to copy it. I got a hold of my friends at the Bluemont Hotel. My buddy Andy over there, he says, give me the guy's name and number. I'll call him and tell him exactly what we built here, and he can have this at his house. How crazy is that? A listener stays at the Bluemont and now wants Cross Kitchens KC to replicate that fireplace that they have at the Bluemont Hotel. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. Any project you like, including new fireplaces in your home, crosskitchenskc.com. And Trevor and Tavis Holsinger at Aspen Wealth Management, new sponsors of KKHI. If you have a 401k or an IRA that's just been sitting there and you don't know how to roll it over from your previous job into where it really belongs, these are the people to call. Get it out. Let them make sure that you're in your best possible position for taxes, for insurance, for personal financial gain, whatever it may be. Don't try to do this yourself. You need help rebalancing a 401k. You want expert advice. Let Aspen Wealth help you. They're online at aspenwealth.com, 913-491-0500. They even do corporate retirement plan management for your company. If your company needs a little help, especially small companies, is Aspen the place for you? Find out by logging on to aspenwealth.com or call Trevor or Tavis at 913-491-0500. All right, Monday's podcast is going to be a little different. I'm on the road, and we're going to try to do it remotely from the Hill Country, just west of Austin, Texas. We will see if I'm able to pull that off. If something goes wrong and there's no podcast on Monday, have a great Monday. We don't fly home until Monday night. So we really appreciate you listening, and we're going to try to start podcasting from the road as we travel a little bit, but we want to keep podcasting while we do that. So we're going to give it a shot and see if we can make that happen for you right here at Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Kevin Kietzman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.